Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
Virtually every morning we wake up and we listen to various voices of authority, or at least claims to authority. Those voices of authority might sound like a politician telling us their latest policy they hope to push through, which will hopefully improve society and our well-being. The voice of authority might sound like a recent finding or discovery when it comes to some health breakthrough, some new drug or technique, hopefully to improve our lives and our health. It might be the voice of authority from social sciences, telling us this newfound piece of education or research will revolutionize the classroom or your workplace or the way you exercise or what we should be eating. And then we could also go and listen to voices of claimed authority who go by the title of influencers. It might be some movie star, some music artist, some washed-up sports star, some rich and famous person who is rich and famous for just being rich and famous. Or the influencer might be some computer nerd who's just really good in front of a camera and a mic, usually with a cool Irish accent or a BBC radio voice, and we just listen to them, well, because we just like listening to them. Some influencers, of course, make a lot of money for not doing very much work and just sounding like the authority on, I don't know, the way we shop, the best way to clean your home, stack your pantry, do your laundry, cook your prawns, eat your bacon, what to wear, how to do your hair. On and on it goes, these voices of authority. And of course, some voices carry good authority, and we do well to hear and heed what is being said. But when all is said and done, there is one final voice of authority we should wake up to every morning and hear and heed and tune our hearts and minds to, and then align our lives to. Because God speaks through His Word, the Bible, one of the most helpful things you could do is to wake up and fill your head and heart with words of life and truth, words of authority. Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." One of my motivations for writing and preaching these Meals for Maturity Bible talks is because of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, well known, no doubt, for some of you. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And therefore we have a duty to listen and to engage with this all Scripture, to plumb its depths and climb its heights, to be better equipped for every good work God has prepared for you and me to walk in. And since we've been told in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4b, that the righteous shall live by faith, and Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, then by logic and deduction, we need to keep hearing God's word to keep living by faith. Thanks for tuning in to this voice of authority, my voice, only as much as it communicates and faithfully conveys the word of truth, the word of Christ, the word of God. We're in the tiny, little, hard-to-find Old Testament minor prophet who packs a major punch. Habakkuk is his name, and prophesying is his game, and to God's glory is his fame. And across this series, I've been reminding us of these three simple truths we hear across three chapters. That is, God is trustworthy, He knows what He's doing, even in troubled times, and a life lived by faith will reward you now, and of course into all eternity. We're up to this section in chapter 2 where God answers the prophet's second complaint. And in chapter 2 verses 6 to 20, we hear a more complete answer by God to the question by Habakkuk of why and how can a good God even think about using an evil empire like the Babylonians to bring about his good, holy, and righteous purposes upon his people Judah in the late 7th century before Jesus. Well, let's hear Aggie bring to us the authority of God right now.
Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 6 to 20. "Shall not all these take up their torch against him, with scoffing and widows for him, and say, Woe to him who heaps up what is not his own, for how long, and loads himself with pledges. Will not your debtors suddenly arise, and those awake who will make you tremble? Then you will be spoil for them, because you have plundered many nations. All the remnant of the people shall plunder you, for the blood of men and violence to the earth, to cities and all who dwell in them. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be saved from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples, for you have forfeited your life. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and a beam from the woodwork respond. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Behold, is it not the Lord of hosts that peoples labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who makes his neighbor drink, for you pour out your wrath and make them drunk in order to gaze at their nakedness. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourself and show your uncircumcision. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter shame will come upon your glory. The violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, as with the destruction of the beasts that terrify them. For the blood of men and violence to the earth, to cities and all who dwell in them. What profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it? A metal image, a teacher of lies? For its maker trusts in his own creation when he makes speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, Awake, to a silent stone, Arise. Can this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence for him.
What we ultimately find here in this passage is not so much a direct answer, which Habakkuk and we might like sometimes from God. See, God doesn't really explain how come he chooses to use a wicked nation like Babylon to bring about his good, holy purposes for his people and for his kingdom. God doesn't answer that question or complaint of Habakkuk directly. Instead, what we find across these verses is God telling us he knows more about the Babylonians and their wickedness and evil, far more than Habakkuk knows, and God is the one who is watching over his world and the nations, and justice will one day be meted out. And so in verses 6 to 20, we read of the God who speaks and who will bring judgment. The passage is basically telling us that all of history is being directed by our sovereign Lord, who will bring about his good purposes for his glory, even through wicked nations. But they will be held to account. Judgment is coming upon all who do not live by faith. And even though Babylon looked indestructible in Habakkuk's day, God will bring her down low, and she will not escape the sovereign Lord. There's been plenty of examples of this, of course, from history, even recent history from last century, of nations and regimes and rulers who claim power and pride and invincibility, but who are ultimately judged and brought down low. Now, we're not going to go through in great detail the judgment here against Babylon. I'm sure you heard the key word repeated as Aggie read to us. Woe, 5 times. Woe basically means you're in big trouble. You've got serious problems coming to you. The proper dictionary definition is a condition of deep suffering from misfortune, affliction, or grief. See, the word woe is used to articulate feelings of great pain or sadness or some form of distress. So you could have financial woes because you've overspent on your credit card. The sports star could have injury woes as they rupture their ligaments for the second time in a season. The politician could have woes as they study the news poll and see their popularity rating slip to an all-time low, where most of their support is now coming from their mum and their great aunt. In the Bible, the word woe points to this impending condemnation, usually from God, which you can't escape. Think of it like a tsunami wave you can't outrun, or a cyclone that's on the radar and it's heading straight over your house. A woe in the Bible means the wrath of God, his righteous and holy justice and judgment, is about to be poured out upon you, and you've run out of time, you've run out of excuses. It's rather telling, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus uses the woe word more than anyone else across the Bible. You might recall Jesus in Matthew 23 delivering seven woes against the Pharisees for their misleading religion, for their hypocritical behavior. And then in the book of Revelation, we read of God's final seven woes of judgment falling upon the world in rebellion to God's Son and his love for them. Well, here in Habakkuk chapter 2, from verse 6, here are five woes announced to the Babylonians, with Israel listening in. Five areas are selected by God for the prophet to declare to this seemingly unstoppable superpower of his day. We're told in verse 6, these woes function like a taunt or a riddle, a ridicule that Israel can use against Babylon. Think about the culture of, say, English football fans singing taunt songs to the opposition out on the field. If you've ever listened or heard, these football chants or songs are designed to inspire their team while also getting under the skin of the opposition. And so the crowd might sing songs of taunt, scorning some poor opposition defender or attacker. At one time, there was a Liverpool player who was banned for a number of games for biting a player. And so the opposition crowd would taunt him when he started playing again. They would taunt him with the song that said, "Your teeth are offside, your teeth are offside." Or to the manager under pressure to win more games, the crowd might start to sing, "Sacked in the morning, you're being sacked in the morning." Australia get a little taste of these taunt songs when the Barmy Army from England comes to the Australian cricket grounds when England play Australia in the Ashes cricket matches. Well, here we get five taunt songs, five woes against Babylon. And in many ways, it starts in verse 4a and verse 5 with the description of what the Chaldeans, what the Babylonians are like. But now these five woes, they're a form of protesting against what these proud, puffed-up Babylonians are doing or what they're about to do. And they serve as a reminder to them and to Judah that the consequences will flow from their wicked actions against God's people. Let me summarize these five woes that address the life and actions of the Babylonians. The first one is woe against selfish ambition in verses 6 to 8. Woe to you who grab all you can and plunder away and look after number one. For one day the plunderer will be plundered. It's like God is saying, you have built up a great debt that you now owe to me. You've built that up because you've stolen from other nations. The second woe, woe against false security, verses 9 to 11. Woe to you who build a society on injustice. One day, your pride in this security will crumble like a game of Jenga blocks. Public shame will fall upon those who have built their fortune by unjust means. You see, Babylon has set their nest on high, thinking they'll be safe from harm. Perhaps there's no greater illustration from last century of this mighty downfall, as Hitler built his eagle nest castle on high for his 50th birthday, only to have it smashed a few years later on his downfall and the downfall of his Third Reich, which was supposed to last 1,000 years. He sets his nest on high, thinking he'll be safe from harm. The third woe, woe against ruthless power, verses 12 to 14. Woe to you who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by violence. For God is watching you. He will punish. You reap what you sow. Fourthly, woe against shameless exploitation, verses 15 to 17. Woe to you who traffic in refugees, who manipulate others, who exploit women and children. God's cup of judgment will be passed to you to drink. And you only have to read or think of the book of Daniel and God's judgment coming upon the king in chapter 5. While he drinks away, plundering his successors, God's hand is writing on the wall, Belshazzar, your days are numbered. Fifthly, finally, woe against foolish idolatry, verses 18 to 20. Woe to you who worship created things in place of the Creator. You've forgotten that your every breath that you take is actually a gift from God. Now, we'll return to this fifth woe in more detail in the next Bible talk. So here are five taunt songs, five woes against this superpower that are sounded out because she is guilty of crimes or sins against humanity, against the land and the earth, against cities and their inhabitants, against forests and their wild creatures even, and finally and ultimately, her crimes, her sins against God himself. But beyond Babylon in the Old Testament, by wider application, these taunts are for any nation or individual, for that matter, that chooses to take their stand against God and not live by faith. These woes should be pondered by any nation and by their leaders that hunger and thirst with injustice and violence and cruelty and pride and greed. Sit up and take notice of Habakkuk chapter 2. All leaders, tyrants, dictators of our modern age, all who overstep the boundaries of human decency and dignity for crimes against humanity, even for crimes against the creation itself. God is watching, and he reigns over all peoples and rulers and nations. You can read Amos chapters 1 and 2 to hear this truth expanded on in another minor prophet with a major voice. There is a purpose, of course, to these woes, remember. The purpose is to remind Judah and us of two realities. Firstly, God does see and will judge accordingly. And secondly, God's glory will be seen today and forever. I want to ask, what do we do when we hear unspeakable evils happening in our day and age? And it seems, like in Habakkuk's day, that God doesn't even care. God doesn't even seem to lift a finger. So war crimes in Ukraine or the Middle East or the Congo, crimes against young girls in Muslim-led countries, so unspeakable, so unprintable, sex trafficking of kids as young as 9 or 10 across parts of Southeast Asia, stories that just make you want to weep. Or you hear stories about dictators living it up and spending millions on weapons or their mansions or their lifestyle while their own peoples starve to death. Or betting agencies and alcohol companies and drug pushers targeting the weak and vulnerable. What do you do when we hear about multi-billionaire companies covering up their environmental disasters and continuing to profit with their rape of the earth and her resources? On and on the stories go and will go whilst we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus and the ushering in of his new and perfect kingdom and restored creation. But in the meantime, we cope and we remind ourselves often of this truth and reality. It is a constant and unchanging truth down the ages. That is, God does see, and secondly, God will judge. Sometimes the judgment comes in this life, before our very eyes, in and through human court systems. But then when we don't see that, and it looks like people, governments, nations get away with unspeakable evils, well, we need to come back to Habakkuk chapter 2 and remember God does see, and he will judge accordingly. Let the tiny prophecy of Habakkuk remind us too of the limitations of our perspective, and that God can and sometimes does use wicked nations and peoples to bring about his good and godly purposes. For surely the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus reminds us of this truth over and over again. When we see evil men and women apparently succeeding or winning, be reminded that across the Bible, when we do see triumph, it is always temporary, and the sovereign Lord will put things all right in the end. Nothing escapes the watch of our sovereign Lord. the judge of all the earth, will do what is right. In Habakkuk's case, Babylon will be judged. Not long after Habakkuk's death, history records for us that the Medes and Persian Empire become the Lord's rod of justice and judgment and actually take down mighty Babylon. Though Babylon conquers many lands and builds cities and fortresses whilst destroying peoples and towns, the very name of Babylon is cut down and no longer exists on the face of the earth today. It's a city that lies in ruins. It's only good for archaeology excursions. Nothing escapes the watch of the Sovereign Lord. The judge of all the earth will do what is right. In Habakkuk's case, Babylon will be judged and forgotten. In our case, the Lord Jesus will not be mocked, nor his people shamed, and King Jesus will have the final word. We get a brief glimpse of this in the one famous line there of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we start to see this as the gospel message in our day covers the earth and moves across the seas and reaches to the ends of the earth. You see, whenever disciples are made, as men, women, and children bow the knee to King Jesus in repentance and faith, then the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And one day, one final day, we will know this in its ultimate fulfillment. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 is one of my go-to verses when the news of the world or news about society starts to get me a little down and depressed. Revelation 11, verse 15, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. It's really a reworking of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Babylon and her glory gets forgotten. Meanwhile, the whole earth will know the glory of the Lord in the face of the risen, conquering Lord Jesus Christ. May God's word, his voice of authority, reverberate in your heart, across your heart and mind this day, as you remember, God sees and he will judge accordingly, and God's glory will be displayed in the gospel today and forever.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.